And it's coming up on Friday, opening ceremonies for the Olympics. And let's talk about that with the, he is a professor at Tufts University, and he is a scholar of Korean and East Asian studies. Sung-Yoon Lee is here. And Sung-Yoon, good morning, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, of course, normally we understand and we expect that there will be a lot of pomp and circumstance, particularly when it comes to the opening ceremonies at the Olympics. But you have written an article in The Hill about Kim Jong-un, and it is hilarious, by the way. And it is a different take on what we might see or experience at the Olympics this year.
Well, Kim Jong-un didn't wake up on New Year's Day and have a change of heart. His outreach to South Korea, when he announced on New Year's Day that he would be amenable to sending a North Korean delegation to the Winter Games, that was premeditated. Why? Because after a banner ballistic year when he really showed off last year, conducting three ICBM tests, intercontinental ballistic missiles that can reach every corner of the United States, and the most powerful nuclear test to date for that nation in September. Now it's time to take a step back and to wield the carrot. The stick has been wielded with great effect. So now it's time to take a softer, kinder approach. And this is good PR for North Korea because we don't think of North Korea as a sophisticated state because they are so laughable, mockable, bizarre, backward, poor, and so forth. But North Korea is very crafty, and they're playing this up very well, sending Kim Jong-un sending his sister to the South, Kim Jong-un sending legions of female cheerleaders and musicians. This is a wonderful image makeover for Kim Jong-un and the North Korean state. Does it mean any genuine reconciliation or denuclearization? I don't think so.
You know, North Korea's gotten a lot of attention, obviously, for good reason, over the last few years. But you mentioned that there's been no war in the Korean Peninsula for over 60 years. So is everything just got a lot of hype, or are we really at a bubbling point now?
Well, there's always a time for a first. There's always the possibility of miscalculation and first strike and war. But what I was trying to say in making that point was the Korean Peninsula has been a hotbed, a spot of intense international rivalry throughout history. And there are four major wars in and around the Korean Peninsula in the 60-year period leading up to the outbreak of the Korean War, which was a devastating war in 1950. Since then, we have not had a real war. It's been a very shaky, unstable peace, but real peace, during which time South Korea has emerged as a very successful nation state, affluent, free, not so much for the North Korean people. What that means is North Korea enjoys a tremendous strategic advantage over the risk-averse South because South Korea just simply has too much on the line, too much to lose, and does not have the stomach to escalate. So North Korea bullies South Korea, censors South Korea all the time, and gets away with it.
Well, one of the things, of course, most of us are worried about is, you know, the security issue. And we hope against hope that, you know, nothing untoward will take place during the course of the Olympics or beyond, but particularly during the course of the Olympics for the security of our own athletes and others. Do we have anything to worry about, do you think?
I don't think North Korea would be so shy or considerate as to refrain from all provocations during the games. For example, if North Korea conducted a nuclear test right in the middle of the games in mid-February, that sounds unimaginable right now with athletes from almost 100 nations gathered in South Korea. But to be a contrarian, it's the most perfect time for such a test because there would be no loss of lives or destruction of property. North Korea could always blame Trump and say this was in self-defense. And when you have tens of thousands of international hostages assembled in South Korea, what would the Trump administration do? Threaten war? I don't think so.
Yeah, big audience too. Very big audience.
Big audience, indeed. Indeed. Very, very good publicity from the North Korean state's point of view. So North Korea knows when to strike, like how far to push the envelope, and we should stop underestimating, patronizing North Korea.
North Korea getting on most of our strategies. Just blame Trump for everything.
Well, that really resonates. And, you know, the vice president is in the region.
Yes, he is.
And he has been saying publicly that he's going to South Korea to drive home the point that we won't be fooled by North Korea's charade, quote unquote. We won't allow North Korea to hijack the games. And we need to keep maximum pressure on North Korea. All good things, but these things don't need to be said in that way because it paints the U.S. as the Grinch, the party pooper, and North Korea comes across as the victim or the more affable, peace-prone kind of party. It all plays into North Korea's propaganda. So on this note alone, you see that North Korean propaganda is a notch or two above U.S. public diplomacy.
Well, let's hope we're all talking about medals and medals only for the next couple of weeks. Mr. Lee, thanks so much for being here this morning. We appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.